But I tried to teach something that would benefit all of us. And there was something called a Feast of Booths. And the Feast of Booths, which we're going to learn about, was 7 days of rejoicing. So we're going to say this would be a perfect time to go from Christmas to New Year's as 7 days, a festival of rejoicing. And so we're going to start off Deuteronomy chapter 16. Many times we are very ignorant, or at least people have not taught us the Old Testament, which is the foundation of the New Testament. So we have no idea many of these things even existed. So our job is, what we're going to do is look at the three feasts and read about them and see the emphasis that Yahweh puts on these. And so we're going to read, even though they're not pertinent right at this particular time, but we're going to read about the first one. It's the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover. So if you want to read 1 through 8.
Who, me?
Wendy, yeah.
Observe the month of Abib, when thou shalt keep a Passover unto Yahweh thy Elohim. In the month of Abib, did Yahweh thy God, the Elohim, bring thee forth out of Egypt by night. Therefore shalt thou sacrifice a Passover unto Yahweh thy God, thy Elohim, a flock or herd in the place where Yahweh shall choose to make a habitation for his name there. Thou shalt not eat therewith anything leavened. 7 days shalt thou eat therewith unleavened cakes, the bread of humiliation, for in haste camest thou forth out of the land of Egypt, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall not be seen with thee leaven in any of thy bones 7 days, neither shall there remain all night of the flesh which thou shalt sacrifice in the evening on the first day unto the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thine own gates, which thy Yahweh thy God is giving unto thee. But in the place where Yahweh thy God shall choose to make a habitation for his name, there shalt thou sacrifice the Passover in the evening, at the going in of the sun, at the very time thou camest forth out of Egypt. Is that it?
Keep reading.
Therefore shalt thou cook and eat it in the place where Yahweh thy God shall choose, and shalt turn away in the morning and go thy way unto thy tents. 6 days shalt thou eat unleavened cakes, and on the seventh day shall be a closing feast unto Yahweh thy God. Thou shalt do no work.
Right there. Okay, there's feast number one. That was not a real good festival, because unleavened bread is a cracker. And obviously, fetch bread is a lot better than a pancake. No questions at this particular time. So, but this is to remind people of the 7 days of leaving Egypt. And at what time at night, what time did they leave Egypt?
At night,
which is really interesting. I just saw that, because the angel of death was at Passover, I mean at midnight. So Yahweh had their firstborn killed at midnight. And I just read that Pharaoh brought Moses and said, go, at that particular time. And what a perfect time for the cloud, which is the glowing cloud of Yahweh, to be leading forward. And for these people to be leaving, and all Egypt is being spoiled at the same time. Mm-hmm. Which means they're going to their neighbors and saying, you know, this is really bald too. Because you always said, ask thanks for your neighbor. And all of a sudden, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And by the way, you know, everybody has had somebody die.
Yeah.
You know, there's a severe anguish and sorrow. And you say, can we have some things to go with us? And they just piled on stuff. And that's what Yahweh told them to do. So I just think of it as back pay. This is called severance pay. You haven't been paid for 50 years, time to pay. So that was it was righteousness. That's feast one. But not a very rejoiceful feast. Now we go to feast two, and in the Rotheram you see it's called the Festival of Weeks. Big difference between festival and carnival. Carn, it means flesh. So a carnival is a festival of flesh. And that really reminds you of Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
When they say Mardi Gras, or they have that also Carnival in Brazil, it is a festival of flesh. Mm-hmm. And when you see the way people are dressed, absolutely, centered around fornication and sexual deviance. This is a festival, which is a feast. So the Festival of Weeks, we're going to read now. That's the second feast. It's also called Pentecost. So this is 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So remember this in Acts 2. Is you want to read 9 through 12.
7 weeks shalt thou count unto thee, from the beginning of thrusting in the sickle into the standing corn. Shalt thou begin to count 7 weeks, so shalt thou keep the festival of weeks unto Yahweh thy Elohim in the measures of the freewill offerings of thy hand, which thou shalt give, as Yahweh thy God shall bless thee. So shalt thou rejoice before Yahweh thy Elohim, thou and thy son and thy daughters and thy servants and thy handmaiden, and the Levite who is with thee, thy gates and thy sojourner, and the fatherless and the widows who are in the midst, in the place which Yahweh the God, thy Elohim, shall choose to make a habitation for his name there. So shalt thou remember that a servant thou wast in Egypt, and shalt observe and do these statutes.
So in this festival, which was one of the first harvests, all right, we see, so shalt thou rejoice before Yahweh thy Elohim. Okay, so then we start seeing rejoicing coming into the effect. Now we go into what I'm propagating. It's called the Feast of Booths. And booths is really a temporary shelter. And so other Bibles say a Feast of Tabernacles. They're just translating the word differently. But it's really a booth, which is a temporary structure. And actually, the people out in the wilderness in their tents are called booths. Because it was a temporary shelter. So 40 years, this is why they told them to celebrate it. So the festival of booths shalt thou keep for thyself 7 days, when thou hast gathered in out of thy threshing floor and out of thy wine vat. This is the harvest, the final harvest. This is the seventh month, which is around September, which is the month Tishri. So we know that Christ was born on Tishri 1. We know on Tishri 10 was what? Anybody remember that, what that is? There's three solemn things that happened in the month of Tishri, which is the seventh month, which is the Day of Atonement or Propitiation. All right, where the high priest goes in into the Holy of Holies once a year. That's the 10th. And then this is the 15th of Tishri, which is 7 days of rejoicing. And 14, and thou shalt rejoice in thy festival, thou and thy son, and thy daughter, and thy servant, and thy handmaid, and thy Levite, and the sojourner, and the fatherless, and the widow who are within thy gates. Well, how can they rejoice if they're impoverished? Well, they can't. So what's going to happen is they're not going to be impoverished.
Well, yeah.
Because people are going to be giving things to them, and they're going to do what? Rejoice.
Say hallelujah.
Yeah, coming to a festival, there's paid. Come on in. 7 days shalt thou keep festival unto Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which Yahweh shall choose, for Yahweh thy Elohim will bless thee in all thine increase and in all the work of thy hands. Wherefore shalt thou do nothing but what?
Rejoice.
You should do nothing but rejoice. So think of this as our harvest, the end of the year. And actually, Tishri was the first beginning of the year in the Hebrew calendar, on the civil calendar. So you had the regular calendar, which was Nisan, which is Passover, but their civil calendar began with Tishri 1. Our January begins us the same month, first year. So look at this. You're supposed to do nothing but rejoice. Well, there's bad things that are happening. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. For 7 days you're supposed to rejoice. So that's what we should do during this season. And here are some requirements. Verse 16. 3 times in the year shall each one of you, each one of the males, see the face of Yahweh thy Elohim in the place which he shall choose, at the festival of unleavened cakes, and at the festival of weeks, and at the festival of booths, and none shall see the face of Yahweh. What?
Empty-handed.
Every man, according as his hand can give, according to the blessing of Yahweh thy Elohim, which he has bestowed upon them. So they bring it in for the widows and the sojourners and the fatherless. They bring in so everybody can rejoice because of the harvest. So that's our first introduction. We go to Leviticus 23. This Feast of Booths is very interesting. Leviticus 23, page 150 in the Rotherham. So think of that. So as we go out, we're going to be going skiing after, you know, during the Christmas time, or even in between Christmas and New Year's, is to be out there blessing people. Maybe giving bigger tips than we usually give. Or if you see somebody in need, you give according to the harvest that Yahweh has given us. And that will make them rejoice.
Yeah.
So in verse 39, surely on the 15th day of the seventh month is Tishri, which they really call the Sabbath month, because seven is the Sabbath. And so this month was very special, the most special because there was three holy days in one month. Surely on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the yield of the land, shall you celebrate the festival of Yahweh 7 days. These are commandments. You will celebrate for 7 days. On the first day, a sacred rest, and on the eighth day, a sacred rest, which means you do not work on the first or the eighth day. So then you shall take you on the first day boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees, and poplars of the ravine, and shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim 7 days. So shall you celebrate it as a festival unto Yahweh 7 days in the year, a statute age abiding in your generation. In the seventh month shall you celebrate it. In booths shall you dwell 7 days. All the homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths, to the end that your generations may know that in booths made I the sons of Israel to dwell when I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. I, Yahweh, am your Elohim. And Guy said, I think he told me, that in New York, Maine, people will still do this. They have tents. And so in front of their house and their backyards, the Orthodox Jews will set tents for this season. You know, I work with one, B&H Photo, they are a Jewish outfit, and they close during this time period. And so they tell you, we don't do any work on the Friday either, so they don't do anything on the Friday, between Friday and Saturday. But they'll ship on Sunday, because they're all working Sunday. So there it is in Leviticus. We go to Numbers 29. So Yahweh thinks very highly of this day. And many times we would feel guilty by looking at the things that are wrong. And he's saying, rejoice, be thankful. Page 190. Okay, Milan, you want to read verse 12? Oh, just one verse.
Okay. And on the 15th day of the seventh month, a holy
convocation
shall be there be unto you no
laborious
work. Shall ye do, but ye shall celebrate a festival unto Yahweh 7 days.
Now, celebrate a festival 7 days. Would you guys like to party for 7 days?
Yeah.
Right?
No cleaning.
Okay, you don't like to play? You don't like to go to amusement parks and play?
Yeah, you
go skiing. You can stay home.
Their whole life is a
no. Yeah, their whole life.
Are you kidding?
Now we go to Nehemiah. Oh, this is very interesting. If you remember, Israel was sold into captivity by the Assyrians. Judah was sold into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, they lost their freedom because of the sin that they did. That was it. They were sold. I mean, it was basically their own sins got them into the place. And our own sins will put us in the same hole. All right? Well, somebody will enslave us. Yeah, that's what happens with sin. So they were gone for 70 years, and Nehemiah and Ezra came back to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And this is where we are in Nehemiah 8:13. This is so cool.
Where is that?
486.
486.
These guys are so... it could be another generation, some older generation, but 70 years has passed. But they are learning this from Ezra reading them the Word of Yahweh. So, Wendy, would you read 13 through 18?
And on the second day were gathered together the ancestral heads of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to give attention unto the words of the law. And they found written in the law that Yahweh gave command through Moses that the sons of Israel should dwell in booths during the festival of the seventh month, and that they should publish and send along a proclamation throughout all their cities and throughout Jerusalem, saying, forth to the mountains and bring in branches of olive and branches of oleaster, and branches of myrtle, and branches of palms, and branches of thick trees, to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought in and made themselves booths, every one upon his roof, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of Yahweh, and in the broad place of the water gate, and in the broad place of the gate of Ephraim, and all the convocation of them who had returned out of the captivity made booths, and dwelt in booths, for since the days of Yeshua, son of Nun, had not the sons of Israel done so unto that day. And there was a very great rejoicing.
Isn't that great? Mm-hmm.
Continue.
Yeah, 18.
So he read in the book of the law of Yahweh day by day, from the first day unto the last day. And they kept the festival 7 days, and on the eighth day a closing feast according to the regulation.
So what did Ezra do on each day?
Read the word.
Read the word. We ought to do the same thing. So on our 7 festive days is to read the word each day, make it, you know, a half hour reading, or when we're out there, we're going to read. And we have our hands full of merchandise or whatever money we need to give to people that Father can guide us to. And celebrate and rejoicing on these days. Now, what's really interesting is Zechariah. Here's another place that we mention it. Chapter 14. That's Zechariah and Malachi. So looking at page, let's see here, 9:11, the Old Testament. Now we know, as the period of time goes, we're living in this particular period of time. Christ is going to come back in the clouds for the body of the Christ, and they're going to leave the earth. The day of tribulation will begin for approximately 7 years or more. And then the adversary is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. The beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. And Christ is coming back to rebuild the temple for Yahweh in Zion, or Zion, reestablishing the kingdom for how long?
1,000 years.
This is what we're going to read about. And guess what? In that 1,000-year frame, they are going to do the Festival of Booths. And we're going to see what happens if they do not. And so they're going to come up. Everybody's required to come up for 7 days and rejoice and do nothing but rejoice.
Come up where?
To Jerusalem. To Zion. And so remember, the final picture of all this is which we never thought about. People say the final picture is heaven. No. It's Jerusalem. It's Zion. And Zion is really the mount, or Zion. It's always the city. That's why it's called the New Jerusalem. Everything's happening in Zion, or Zion. The correct pronunciation is Zion. Like Z and the zebra.
We hear Zion.
Yeah, when everybody says Zion, it's not, it's Zion, according to the Hebrew. why are we told these things? You know, we're thinking of the final picture is in heaven floating on the cloud someplace. Mm-hmm. No, it's just the opposite. And Christ is going to rule this kingdom for 1,000 years. And now we're going to read about that. After, you know, that happens, and there's natural man there, which means people are going to die on this planet. We're going to be there. And how do we know we're going to be there? Because it says, Christ in 1 Thessalonians 4 says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. All right, so if the Lord's here on earth, we're going to be on earth. If he's in heaven during the seven-year period of tribulation, we're going to be there in heaven. Yeah. And so like we said it once before, think of heaven as an ark like Noah was on. So Noah rose above the earth as it was being judged for over a year. We're going to rise up above the earth, thank Yahweh. Why, it's going to be what?
War.
Judged for 7 years. Who are the people going to be judged? Those are the people who rejected to bow to Yahweh. Yeah. They're going to get one last chance. Mm-hmm. That's why they have elected to be judged. Right? Because they refused to bow to Yahweh. Okay, you get one more chance, and that's the book of Revelation.
Give them one more chance, even. That's our God.
Yeah, that's amazing. That, yeah, you gave him another chance. The only people who are there voluntarily, I can see, are the two witnesses. Mm-hmm. Their believers are going to be left behind, and they know they're going to be died. They're going to die and be left on the street because it's written about them. Mm-hmm. But they also know they're going to be raised, and they know people are not going to like them. When you got the whole world coming against you, fire can come out of their mouth. You know, they can stop the rain. I mean, anybody who tries to kill them dies. I mean, this is an out-and-out war. You want peace? You know, I guess when I'm looking at the five love languages, not five love, but the five flag pages or five, and one is the peace country. These guys aren't from peace. Mm-hmm. They're very simple. They are there to do a job.
You know that they have fire in their
mouth? Now, people from peace, we need that also. You know, just listen to the flag page again. But let's look at this, 9 to 14.
Zechariah chapter 1.
Chapter 14. Verse 9. Why are we going to be doing sacrifice and coming to the temple? Because these are natural men. They're going to choose whether to bow to Yahweh or not. And that's why they're required to do this. And it's going to say, Yahweh is king. Yes, he is. Who's his first-hand representative? Yahushua. Yahweh's still in heaven. Mm-hmm. Yahushua was on the earth. Mm-hmm. Yahweh's not coming to the earth until Revelation 21, mm-hmm. after death and the adversary thrown into the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. The death, Sheol, and the adversary. Once death is destroyed, then the earth is undefiled and purified. And only people who are left are what? The people who want to be there. Mm-hmm. So it's like one big advertisement. Who wants to live with Yahweh? And all of us in this room say yes. So there's no more, so Yahweh can come down. He doesn't have to work with death, which is another subject. But let's look at verse 9. So will Yahweh become king over all the earth through Yahushua. There's going to be one ruler, and he's going to have a scepter and break people like a potter's vessel who disobey him. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name be one. We have many gods today. All the land shall turn into a plain, from Gibra to Rimnon, south of Jerusalem, and shall lift herself on high and abide in her own place. From the gate of Benjamin up to the place of the first gate, up to the corner gate, and from the tower Hananel up to the wine presses of the king. So shall man dwell therein, and utter destruction shall not be any more, but Jerusalem shall abide in security. See? Verse 12. This is for the people who don't like this. And this shall be the plague wherewith Yahweh will plague all the peoples who have made war against Jerusalem. His flesh shall be made rot while he is standing upon his feet, and his eyes shall rot in their sockets, and his tongue shall rot in their mouth. John Shane and I said this is a good illustration of the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, yeah.
When they opened the lid of the ark, that's what happened to their face.
Yeah.
It's like they melted.
Remember that?
And it shall come to pass in that day that there shall be a great confusion from Yahweh among them, and they will lay hold every one upon the hand of his neighbor, and his hand will rise up against the hand of his neighbor. Moreover, also Judah will fight with Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the nations round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. We ended up with it all. And so shall be the plague of the horse, and the mule, the camel, and the ass, and all the beasts which shall be in those camps, like this plague. And it shall come to pass, as for every one that is left out of the nations that came against Jerusalem, that they shall come up. So there are people who survive. These people were dead. As we saw, their eyes rotted out. And so now we start the thousand-year reign. So I think this is, precedes the thousand-year reign. Now Christ is king, and the people who were not destroyed, that they shall come up from year to year to bow down to the King Yahweh of hosts. This is always the case. You ask anybody, will you bow down to Yahweh? No. Okay, you're going to. Yeah, but you're going to experience death because you're going to be raised again. Bow down to Yahweh. Now, let me see here. To bow down to the King Yahweh of hosts, to celebrate the festival of booths. It doesn't mention the Passover. It doesn't mention the Feast of Weeks, but just the festival of booths, which is the last harvest. It shall come to pass that those who... And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not come up out of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to bow down to the King Yahweh of hosts, thou shalt not on them be any rain. And if the family of Egypt shall not come up and shall not enter in upon whom there falleth none, then shall smite them the plague wherewith Yahweh did plague the nations, because they came not up to celebrate the festival of booths. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations when they come not up to celebrate the festival of booths. So think of it.
You want a party?
You got to rejoice. And so we have a pure heart to wanting to rejoice and celebrate and praise Yahweh for all that he's done. Instead of looking at what's wrong, we're going to take these 7 days and say, I'm going to look at everything that is right. And anything that's bad in my mind, I'm going to kick out, because I think that's wicked against Yahweh. It's going to rob him of us, of his children, of all the goodness that he's given to us, that we jump and click our heels and laugh and sing and play and help people. Let's go to Philippians 4.
Flip over to Philippians.
About rejoicing. Chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Hey, Eli, why don't you read 4 through 7?
Chapter 1.
Philippians 4.
4.
Chapter 4, page 204.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let all your considerateness be known unto all men. The Lord is near. For nothing be anxious, but in everything, by a prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known unto Yahweh. And the peace of Yahweh, which riseth above every mind, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Yahushua.
Very good. In verse 6, and 4, rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I will say rejoice. Here's a guy in prison when he's writing this.
Yeah,
Yahweh's telling him.
When he wrote that.
Last verse. I'm going to have Cayman read this.
Which one?
Is it a tough one? 1 Thessalonians 5. 16, 17, and 18. Three verses.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
What verses?
16, 17,
and
18. Okay. These are what I try to do every day. Mm-hmm. These ones we memorize.
Right here.
Evermore rejoice unceasingly pray in everything. Give thanks, for this is a thing will of God Yahweh in Christ Jesus towards you.
That's it. Evermore rejoice, unceasingly pray, in everything give thanks. Say that, Melania. Evermore rejoice.
Evermore rejoice.
Unceasingly pray.
Unceasingly pray.
In everything give thanks.
In everything give thanks.
One more time. Evermore
rejoice.
Evermore rejoice.
Unceasingly
pray.
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 In everything give
thanks.
Thanks. Very good. And that's what we should end up doing. And make these 7 days that same way. So we'll end right there. All right, ahead of schedule. What we'll do is I'll go ahead and give a prayer and then a prophecy for the people who are listening or will be listening. Well, Father, we thank you for this 7 days that we can go ahead and rejoice and in everything. We're commanded to rejoice and be thankful for all that you've given us. If we just count our blessings each day, we'll just fall down on our knees and be so thankful. So we thank you for allowing you to give your Son to deliver us. We thank you for Christ. We thank you, Christ, for being our Savior, delivering us from this present evil age. We thank you for the harvest that we've had for 2014. We thank you for the birth of your Son, celebrating the birth of your Son, who is our Redeemer and Savior, as you are our Redeemer and Savior. So we thank you, Father, through our Lord and Savior, for these 7 days of rejoicing. My sons and daughters, as you walk, as you put my word on your minds, speak my word, because it is salvation. It sets the captive free. Speak my words wherever you go, because in it is life, in it is truth, and it is awareness that I exist within you, and I can exist in them all, always. So at all times, seek my counsel, seek my will for your lives. Walk forth in the direction that I have given you to walk forth, and you shall prosper. As I have prospered you this year, I will prosper you year after year after year, as you heed to what I have to say in my word, and do it in faith, believingly, expectantly, knowing the promises that I put in my word are for you and for all those who believe. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. See you later.